Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you even have a clue where the fuck we are, what we're doing?
Well, we haven't been on it with our episodes lately, but...
Regular.
But the last time we did a regular episode, it was 2 Maccabees chapter 5.
Sure as fuck was.
And in that episode, we had the Sky Cavalry.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then we had a bunch of like murder shit where Jason thought Antiochus was dead. And then Jason went and did some bad things. And then Antiochus was like, oh shit, yeah, I'm still alive, yo. And I'm going to go do some more bad things to you. And then it just kind of went all bad. And then Judas Maccabeus showed up. And then they fled into the woods.
And then we did a Q&A over 1 through 5 because we were like, what just happened?
Right. Yeah.
What is going on right now?
We definitely needed that Q&A.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
I was confused as fuck.
Yeah, so was I.
So
truth be told, I'm still a little confused.
Oh, yeah.
Not as much as I was,
which
seems about on par with the Bible as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any truly understanding where the fuck this came from.
Nah.
Not in like total, because you had to be there, right? Like a lot
you
of
had to be there. Oh my God. If you know, you know. Guess what? I don't know.
Right. So that was 2 Maccabees chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
which means that today we're getting into
2 Maccadoodles chapter 6.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are hopping into 2 Maccadoodles chapter 6.
Okay.
Macadoodles. Okay, so not long after this.
Not after this.
This being...
The Sky Cavalry, the death of everybody.
The Macadoodle incident.
They ran into... Okay.
Yeah, and they're eating the things that they're only supposed to be eating. That was the end of chapter 5.
Sure, yeah.
They're not defiling themselves.
Got it. Yeah.
So not long after this, the king sent out an old man of Athens...
An old man of Athens.
To compel the Jews to depart from the laws of their fathers and not to live by the laws of God. And also to pollute the sanctuary in Jerusalem and to call it by the name of Olympian Zeus.
Ooh.
And to call the sanctuary in Gerizim. By the name of Zeus, the protector of foreigners.
So one's going to be Zeus and one's like Zeus with an extra long title.
Yeah. Okay. Even as the people who lived in that place did.
Okay.
So they are really trying to A, squash Jewish stuff and B, move Greek stuff in.
Right.
They're like, be Greek.
Yeah.
Stop being Jewish. Be Greek.
Right.
Call it Greek things.
Yeah.
Do Greek stuff. Stop chopping off your foreskins and call everything Zeus. My goodness.
Right.
What's
wrong with you heathens?
It's all Greek to me. Not Greek enough. We about to kill you.
Yeah.
That's what the Greeks are saying.
Right.
Be Greek. The visitation of this evil was harsh and utterly grievous. That's an opinion.
Harsh and utterly grievous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is an opinion.
Right.
That is.
Based on the writer's.
Yeah.
Opinion.
You can't just say that something is harsh and utterly grievous.
Right, that is not a fact.
Although a murder of children is also harsh and utterly grievous.
Yeah.
And slavery is harsh and utterly grievous. A Holocaust is harsh and utterly grievous.
I think if you have like an outside perspective weighing in on it, they can say that it's harsh and utterly grievous. But it has to be somebody that's weighing both sides.
I don't know. I think that the Palestinians are allowed to say what is happening to us is fucking harsh and utterly grievous.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
So I don't think you have to necessarily not be the victim.
True.
To be allowed to say that.
Right.
What is happening to you is harsh and utterly grievous.
Right. Right.
I just have a hard time sympathizing with these folk.
Well, I guess it's not that I have a hard time sympathizing with them. It's that I feel like they've done a lot of the same things. And it's just a matter
of who
has more power
in any given moment.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I see you over there this time you're on the bottom, but I've seen you on the top.
Right.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
I read the Old Testament. I know who you are.
Right.
And your God is mean. And what was the... harsh and utterly grievous.
Yeah.
Yahweh ain't nice.
No.
So kind of, I don't know, fuck off a little bit. Not like in a mean way.
Right. Sorry that shit's happening. Sorry that people are being mean and utterly grievous to you.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like maybe learn a lesson to don't do that in return in the future.
What if
say next time 2025, 2026 time frame?
What if when you're on top, you don't be harsh and utterly grievous?
Right.
That would be cool. What if nobody is harsh and utterly grievous?
That would be awesome. Peace.
That would be so nice.
Love.
What if
tranquility?
We don't have the rich and elite raping children and eating babies?
That would be a much better place than we are in currently.
That would be the opposite of harsh and utterly fucking grievous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That is definitely harsh and utterly grievous.
I agree. For the temple was filled with debauchery and reveling by the heathen.
Not debauchery.
Reveling. fucking reveling by the heathen.
Who's right? Okay. All right.
Who dallied with prostitutes.
Man, they did. They dillied their dallies.
They did.
They dallied their dillies.
And they diddled them.
Right.
Yeah. They had intercourse with women within the sacred precincts. Ooh, they'd be fucking in the cloakrooms.
Man, they're doing a good job of profaning those places.
I think that smoking in the boys' room should be fucking in the cloakroom. Wouldn't that be funny?
I know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. It's the
Motley Crue.
No, yeah, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
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 But
I get that one mixed up with Beastie Boys, like, because it was they had the right to party, right? Was that the...
Yeah, they did have the right to party.
And the smoking in the boys' room always kind of goes... Like, I love
but
the Beastie Boys.
But that hypocrite smokes two packs
but those
a
two
day.
Song, those two songs in particular always get mixed up in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they'd be fucking all over the place, fucking prostitutes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And moreover, brought inside things that were not appropriate.
Moreover.
They brought inside things that were not appropriate.
Beyond prostitutes and fucking in the temple.
In the churches and whatever.
Right.
The altar was filled with those abominable things which had been prohibited by the laws. What do you think they were?
Probably Zeus.
Probably
things
idols.
That, yeah, like they were things
they
that
was they, bringing in the
they
idols.
Were not their religion. They were other religions.
Yeah, yeah. They were bringing
and then
in.
Also they
were bringing in little pocket Asherah poles.
And then also they fucked in there.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't a good time for those people.
Yeah, they were bringing in a sheriff.
That's not what you guys do in there. You're supposed to splatter blood on the east, west, and north wall.
Yeah.
Not fuck people.
Yeah, but not this person anyways.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. A man could neither keep the Sabbath nor observe the feasts of their ancestors, nor so much as confess himself to be a Jew.
Mm.
On the day of the king's birth, every month. Oh.
Wait, the king can't be born every month.
No, but that date reappears every month. For example,
oh, so like if you were born on the 15th, it's every month on the 15th.
It's
your birthday?
It's your birthday.
Man, I want that life.
On the day of the king's birth, every month, they were led along with bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices.
Hmm.
When the feast of Dionysia came, that's Dionysus, you know?
Yeah.
They were compelled to go in procession in honor of Dionysus,
right.
Wearing wreaths of ivy. Ooh, they had to do all the Greek things.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you're trying to convert people to your, you know, ways,
you got
to
go Greek.
You got to go make them do your things. You
got to go Greek hard.
Yeah.
And they did. That's why when they say when in Greece,
right.
That's where that phrase.
I thought it was Rome.
When in Rome.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. It's all Greek to me, when in Rome.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, both of those. Yeah. A decree went out to the neighboring Greek cities by the suggestion of Ptolemy that they should observe the same conduct against the Jews and should make them eat of the sacrifices and that they should kill those who didn't choose to go over to the Greek rites.
Damn.
So he's like, I'm not just trying to Greek you up in here. I'm trying to Greek you up over there as well.
Right, and we ain't fucking around.
No, no. Here a Greek, there a Greek, everywhere a Greek, Greek. Don't be not Greek.
Yeah, or we'll kill you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the I could see now why the Jewish men then would go through the painful procedures of trying to...
Well, yeah, it's better than dying.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Some men might dying be like...
or get foreskin put back on your penis.
By very painful...
Through surgery.
Measure ish, of stretching in ancient times, your skin.
That's or terrible.
Slicing it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not... We went into detail. Was that in the Q&A?
Mm-hmm.
We went into detail in the Q&A if you really want to squeam... A lot.
Squeam. Husband was over here. He was squeaming so hard. So the present misery was for all to see. Yeah, it was. For example, two women were brought in for having circumcised their children.
Mm.
These, when they had led them publicly around the city with the babes hung from their breasts, they threw down headlong from the wall. You know.
Damn.
They were like,
that's rough.
Bitch, bye.
Yeah.
They just were like... That's what you get for chopping the foreskin off of your baby's penis. And I'm like, ooh, such mixed feelings. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't think that fucking up your kid's penis is the way to go. But not like at the cost of, and now you're both going to get pushed off of the wall and
die.
My
takeaway here is that things can get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Others who had run together into the caves nearby to keep the seventh day secretly... were betrayed to Philip and were all burned together.
Damn.
You know, they were keeping the Sabbath on the sly.
Yeah, yeah.
And because their piety kept them from defending themselves in view of the honor of that most solemn day.
That was where they were in the first Maccabees, where they like went after them on the Sabbath and they didn't defend themselves because it was the Sabbath.
They were hiding. Yeah. Right. I urge those who read this book. This is the book reading this, not me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not making this up.
Right.
I urge those who read this book to not be discouraged because of the calamities, but recognize that these punishments were not for the destruction, but for the chastening of our race. For indeed, it is a sign of great kindness that those who act impiously are not let alone for a long time, but immediately meet with retribution. This guy is like, it's good that we were harmed because we had it coming. This is some victim,
blaming,
not victim blaming, victim, like we deserved it. We had it coming.
Sure.
Like we should have been better.
And self-deprecation.
Yeah. Like it's brainwashing yourself into accepting punishment. Like it's tragic.
Yeah.
They're like, no, don't be sad. We should be spanked when we fuck the fuck up.
Yeah.
We love dying. We love getting punished and hurt.
Well, and let's be honest, like based on what we're reading in this book, Second Maccabees, it feels like it was written after these events had happened, right?
It was written.
So this is someone writing about it after it's all over, and they're trying to figure out why these things would happen to a godly people, right?
Mm-hmm. And then that's why also it said, you know, the first Maccabees was... Or, I'm sorry, the first few chapters were, like, about God protects you when you are good and proper.
Yeah.
And he punishes you when you turn from him. So he's saying, this is right. What happened here is hard to read, but it's the right thing because these people had turned away from God.
Except for that the people that died being dropped on their heads after circumcising their kids, they were doing the right thing and they still, and then the people that ran away to worship the Sabbath in the caves were doing the right thing and they died. Like they're all dying for the right things.
Well, the thing is that it's the Jewish individual is being punished for the Jews as a whole having turned away.
Okay.
The individual doesn't count. It's the collective that
in a
matters.
World where this God can change people's hearts and do all the things, like I just don't agree with this. Like,
no,
this
is I don't
not
either.
This is not appropriate punishment.
No, I totally agree. Obviously, that's why I stopped to make a point that this is trash.
Right.
Yeah. This is grievous. This is uppity fucking grievous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For in the case of the other nations, the sovereign Lord waits patiently to punish them until they have attained to the full measure of their sins, but not with us, that he may not take vengeance on us afterward, but when we have come to the height of our sins. Therefore, he never withdraws his mercy from us, but though he chastens with calamity, he doesn't forsake his own people. This is saying that he always loves us, but he punishes us immediately when we fuck the fuck up.
Or when you do right, apparently.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, for the greater good.
Right. Well, again, you have to look at it as the Jewish people as a whole. What the individual does.
I get it. Except for when it's not. Sometimes it is individual.
No, if the individual misbehaves, the entire group gets punished. That's right. Part of what is supposed to collectively make each individual behave, because the weight of the entire group is on your behavior.
I guess.
The group will get punished collectively for your misbehavior. Your one act of goodness will not redeem either you or your group.
I suppose.
The group always has to behave. Each one. That's what makes them a solid people and makes each of them responsible unto each other.
I guess I feel like punishment has changed over time, because it used to be that if somebody fucked up, he would punish their family for 10 generations. Mm-hmm. If somebody fucked up, he would, you know, like when there was the rebellion against Moses, then he would kill the people that were rebelling against Moses, right? Like, mm-hmm. it was the people doing the bad act at some points, but not always. So, right. Like right this now, we're punishing collectively because all the Jewish people fucked up, and we're supposed to just not remember those other times where sometimes he punishes the correct people, but sometimes he punishes all the people.
Well, let's keep in mind the historicity of this, right? This is, you're talking about the way that this fake God, right? You're talking about the way the God behaved early on when there were fewer people. And so it was about each individual tribe, right?
I guess.
And now we're talking about, I mean, there's been a diaspora. I said it right that time.
Yeah.
And the Jews are like all over the place. So in order to make it hit home better and bigger, you can't just punish the tribe. You have to punish the entire people as a whole. That's the greater, like, before it was just the Jews, right?
I don't know. Like, I feel like this God has been wishy-washy from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he punished all the Jews for, like, they wandered for 40 years.
Oh, you know, yeah,
like,
definitely.
that wasn't individual punishment, but then sometimes he does individual. Like, there is no consistency to it, is what I was getting at.
No, I agree with you on that.
And this is more of that inconsistency, in my opinion.
It's always better to say, oh, these people, they all got punished. That is.
This is just people. These are human beings making excuses for why they got fucked up.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. No, definitely. I was just trying to put it into context of what a believer might think.
Sure. And, no, but I call bullshit on it.
Okay. That's fair. However, let this that we have spoken suffice to remind you. But after a few words, we must come to the narrative. That okay. was him going, so anyways.
Right, yeah.
Or, okay, but I digress, right? That's what he was saying just then.
Yeah.
All right, so here goes the story.
Okay.
Eleazar, one of the principal scribes, a man already well advanced in years and of a noble countenance, was compelled to open his mouth to eat swine's flesh. He was compelled to eat pork.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean,
I also,
you don't need that much effort to compel me to eat pork.
I also get compelled to eat pork, but I don't say that somebody else compelled me. I just love bacon and it smells good.
We have some pork cooking right now, actually.
We do. Oh, yeah. My God. We're having ham and beans.
Yeah.
Beans and ham.
Yeah.
But you know what? We didn't get any cottage cheese to go with it.
I think there's some in the fridge.
No, we ate it all.
No.
Last time I made beans.
Mm.
You're going to have to go out and get some fucking cottage cheese. Listen. I love cottage cheese in my beans and ham.
Mm.
I grew up eating it that way. And I have been told that is a weird thing to do. And I
approve of it. I didn't do it when I was growing up, but I don't know of
anybody else that did. So I will give you that it is weird. It is not the norm. It's also delicious. And I fucking love it.
Agreed.
So whatever. I'm glad to have brought that into your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, he wanted to eat some pork, but he's like, something compelled me. but he, welcoming death with honor rather than life with defilement, advanced of his own accord to the instrument of torture, but first spat out the flesh as men ought to come who are resolute to repel such things, as not even for the natural love of life is it lawful to taste.
I see.
So he's like, so, I'm compelled to take a bite of this. Oh, it's gonna, it smells so good. And then he was like, oh, fuck me. Is it worth getting punished for eternity?
What was that show we watched with the Jewish pastor and the girl that dated him? And
Nobody Wants This.
Nobody Wants This, yeah.
So one good, of my you favorite guys.
Scenes
it's
from
on
that.
Netflix.
Yeah, the girl brought like a dish to the family gathering, the Jewish family gathering.
Yeah.
And it had like bacon on it or something.
And she had no clue.
Right. She had no clue. And then they all got mad at her. The mom especially got mad at her.
And she was like, but no, I can look. I could just take the pork off. And we're
right,
like,
right.
No, you literally can't.
That's so the mom, who was the most mad, took this thing into the kitchen to get rid of it.
To quote unquote get rid of it.
And then the girlfriend decides to confront and be like, I'm going to clear this up. I'm going to make this right. And then so she walks into the kitchen and the mom's in there just like shoveling the bacon in. And like
mowing down. She was shoveling it into her mouth. And then the girlfriend was like, oh, I see how it is. So then their relationship changed after that The girlfriend never even hinted at ratting her out.
Right.
She never ratted her out.
It kind of changed. There was some redrawing of the lines later, but you know, yeah.
There was a little bit of respect earned that day.
Right.
Because, you know, you saw me at my lowest, A, and then B, you didn't tell anybody.
Right, right.
So there was a little bit of.
I just thought that was funny.
You guys, that's a really good show. And it's interesting because it is about a Jewish person and a very agnostic, like doesn't even think about it. I would say atheist, like doesn't even think about believing.
Right, right, right.
So like, isn't even like, what is God? But the show isn't about their belief in God or them having like God conversations. The whole thing of their relationship is about his Jewish lifestyle.
Yeah.
And whether she should become Jewish in order to be part of his life. But they talk about Judaism and Jewish life, but they never talk about God. And I just find that to be one of the most fascinating parts of the show.
Yeah.
And it's not even brought up that they're not talking about God.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't even know that anybody notices.
No, it's more about the traditions and the practice of
being Jewish. The lifestyle of being Jewish.
Some of the spirituality of it. Like, there is a little bit that it touches, especially with him.
But they never talk about God.
Yeah.
Not once.
Right.
Do they talk about God.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
The show is called Nobody Wants This. Highly recommend.
It's
on Netflix. It's so funny. All right. And it's highly sacrilegious. So it's right up my alley.
And the brother, I can't remember his name, but he's fantastic.
He brings home the show.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The brother of the pastor guy. The brother of the whatever, not pastor, but.
Rabbi.
Rabbi.
His name on the show is Sasha.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking fantastic. Hilarious. He's the gem of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Continuing on with chapter 6 of the Macadoodles,
right.
Of the second Macadoodles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But those who had the charge of that forbidden sacrificial feast took the man aside for the acquaintance which of old times they had with him, and privately implored him to bring flesh of his own providing, such as was proper for him to use, and to make as if he did eat of the flesh from the sacrifice, as had been commanded by the king.
But he's not going to do it.
That by doing so, he might be delivered from death, and so his ancient friendship with them might be treated kindly. Mm. So basically his friends are like, bro, we don't want you to die.
I mean,
you're Jewish, but you're our friend.
Just pretend
we love you.
Like you ate it.
Yeah, come on, guy.
Just pretend.
Yeah, and which is kind of cool, because these are like basically Greek people and their Jewish friend,
right.
And they're like, we don't want you to die over something stupid. And he's like, you don't understand. It's not stupid to me. It's
right. And they're even like, look, you don't even have to eat it, man. Just pretend like you did.
Yeah, we don't care. Just fucking go along to get along.
Throw it to the side of your mouth and just like.
And we'll be like, totally ate it.
Right.
I saw him eat it. Juicy. Oh, yeah. 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 Right? Yeah. No, we both saw him eat it.
Yeah.
But he, having formed a high resolve and one that became his years, the dignity of old age and the gray hairs which he had reached with honor, and his excellent education from a child, or rather the holy laws of God's ordaining, declared his mind accordingly, bidding them to quickly send him to Hades.
To Hades, huh?
Yeah, to Hades. Whether that's a place or an idea isn't made clear. But he's like, no, you know what? The fact that I was even tempted, like, I deserve what comes, and I'm not gonna... He, like, drew his line in the sand for himself and his people and his upbringing. I can respect that.
Yeah. Like, well, I do feel... I think that the introduction of Hades to the Jewish people kind of was some of the beginnings of hell. Like, as it stands today.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that makes sense in the in the context of what we're talking about. These people were very much a part of their lives. You know, the Greeks were all intermixed with all these Jewish folks. Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of Hades was probably the same as speaking of, what did the Jewish people call it? It was, Gehenna.
Gehenna. Yeah.
So, like, it probably, the wording probably just replaced the other.
Yeah.
In their thoughts.
But he's, like, looking them straight in the eyes and saying, like, I really appreciate you friends taking up for me.
Yeah.
But listen, go ahead and send me to Hades.
To your hell.
Your hell.
Yeah.
I take that. Right. I accept that.
Right.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Now he's going to say some things. Okay. Quote, "For it doesn't become our years to dissemble," he said. Dissemble meaning lie. "It doesn't become our age," how old I am, "to lie, that many of the young should suppose that Eleazar, the man of 90 years, has gone over to an alien religion." Oh, damn. He's like, I'm too old.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think that of me.
I've been Jewish my whole life. I'm going to die Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. "And so they, by reason of my deception and for the sake of this brief and momentary life, would be led astray because of me. And I defile and disgrace myself in my old age." Man, that is like strength of character, honestly. He's in his 90s and he's like,
I can respect.
I don't want kids to look at me as the model of, like, look at what happened to Eleazar. He changed out and you should too. Like, no, man.
Right, right.
This is really impressive.
I mean, assuming that it actually happened.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, this is a cool story.
Sure.
Cool story,
sure.
Bro, but for real.
Yeah.
"For even if for the present time I would remove from me the punishment of men, yet whether I live or die, I wouldn't escape the hands of the Almighty." He's basically saying God knows my heart.
Yeah.
"Therefore, by bravely parting with my life now, I will show myself worthy of my old age and leave behind a noble example to the young, to die willingly and nobly a glorious death for the revered and holy laws."
I'm a little bit torn here. Like, I love the conviction that he has for his beliefs and for what he does and everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's part of my dislike of religion, right? Like, this belief that you hold to this idea of this God more than anything else in life, right? Like, it's such a... It causes so many problems in the world.
Right.
Like, religiosity in general.
It does. I think in this case, it's admirable because he's being told, go with our God instead of yours.
Right.
And he's saying, no, I will die for my God.
No, I love the conviction.
He's not saying, like, the choice isn't believe in God or don't believe in God at all. The choice is you can believe in your God and die, or you can switch out to our God.
Right.
And to me, that's the difference.
Sure. And this is a peaceful moment where he's choosing this. So it's not like, other than he's going to die.
Right.
He's not choosing to start a war over it or you know, anything like that.
He's not like strapping bombs to his body and
right.
taking people out with him. He's just saying,
it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
And that I can respect.
Sure.
So, and so far as.
Yeah. I mean, he's like martyring himself, but like, I don't know. I kind of respect it, you know?
Right, right.
I think it's kind of like, good on you, dude. And also because he's standing by his convictions.
Right.
They always talk about, like, there's no atheists in foxholes, which isn't true, by the way.
Right.
But also, I don't hear the opposite phrase, which is Christians being willing to die for what they believe in. Like, how far will you stand on your belief? And this guy is like, come to the grave.
In my opinion, those are some dangerous words, actually, because some of them are getting very zealous with regard to their Christianity.
They're willing to kill others.
Sure.
They aren't willing to necessarily say, I would die for my belief in this moment.
Sure.
They're saying, I am willing to kill a lot of people.
I suppose.
That's different.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to martyr a bunch of other people. Are you willing to martyr yourself?
Right.
Not taking other people out with you.
Yeah. No, I get your point.
Yeah. So when he said these words, he went immediately to the instrument of torture. That's the second time they've mentioned that.
It is.
And yeah. I've got a little bit of foreboding. I don't like that there's an instrument of torture. When they changed the goodwill they bore toward him a little before into ill will because these words of his were, as they thought, sheer madness.
Yeah.
And when he was at the point to die with the blows, he groaned aloud and said, to the Lord who has the holy knowledge, it is manifest that while I might have been delivered from death, I endure severe pains in my body by being scourged. But in soul, I gladly suffer these things because of my fear of him. Because, always be afraid of God.
Because he fears God, he's willing to take torture.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Never not be afraid of
God. Right. That's just like a terrible way to die.
I know.
Your two thoughts are, I'm being tortured and I'm doing this because I fear my God.
I fear my God more than I fear what's happening to me right now.
Not I love my God.
I can't wait to meet my maker.
None of this.
Right?
Not like my God's going to save me from this by letting me let go earlier. None of this.
Yeah.
Fear and torture are the two things going through this person's mind.
I mean, that's why there was a lot of like remaking of this stuff with Christianity.
Yeah.
Not as we see Christianity today, which is full of hate. But like the whole Jesus thing was like, God is love and Jesus is the, message of forgiveness, right?
Sure.
And like, there are a lot of Christians that are like, I love Jesus and I can't wait to be in his arms. And like, they do talk about, they don't talk about the fear of God and like, I'm scared of God. They talk about, no, God is love.
And look, we should rephrase that because there are a lot of Christians out there that do believe in the love aspect of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
there
are definitely certain groups within Christianity that lean more towards the hate side of things that we tend to talk about them as a general oversight of Christianity. But
those are the ones that are less Jesus-y and more old school, Old Testament, like,
right,
which is weird because I'm like,
it is.
How do you reconcile that with Jesus being,
hate so much to hate people is so much easier to sell than love.
That's
really what it boils down to. And the pastors that run these churches that are hate driven know this. They know that hate is easier to sell.
I mean, if it bleeds, it leads. That's what newspapers do, right?
They're just feeding into the immediacy of this time and place that we are in currently, mm-hmm. where hate sells.
Everything comes down to rage bait,
Yeah.
It's nothing new.
Right.
So this man died like this, leaving his death for an example of nobleness and a memorial of virtue, not only to the young, but also to the great body of his nation. The end. But also, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Who there wrote down that that's what this man said and then carried it over to all the rest of the Jews so that they could, keep a record of Eleazar's final
maybe words. They were meticulous note keepers. I don't know.
Or maybe those Greeks that were like beating the fuck out of him at the torture machine were like, damn, this guy died by his convictions. Like night after they were at home, after having beat him up, right? They're at home and their wives are putting ice on their knuckles.
Maybe they just went out for a smoke break afterwards.
That could be.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was, so they're like beating the fuck out of this dude, right? And they're like bruising their knuckles and everything. And
yeah.
So as you said, then they go out for a smoke break, right? And they're like, oh. But then they go home that night and their wives are icing their knuckles because, they're all sore and whatever. And they're like, wife, I gotta admit, I was beating the fuck out of them and killing them and stuff with the torture machine, but I kind of admired them. And then the wife was like, I learned how to read because I'm a Greek wife. Mm. And then she wrote it down.
She, okay.
Yeah.
It was her.
It was her.
Okay.
The Greek wife.
I mean, that's fair. That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the reason I brought up smoke breaks because I thought maybe they just like went out for a smoke break and we're talking about it and somebody might have overheard. So
that could be too, but I have a feeling that, I don't know, like, just imagine that you walk by, right? Like, you walk by this gaggle of Greeks.
Right, right.
Standing around with bloody knuckles. And, sure. And you're just walking by. Like, you're walking your dog down the street, right? Right, and this gaggle of Greeks with bloody knuckles is standing there going, well, yeah, I kicked him, and then you... and then one says, yeah, but it was quite noble, though. Like, honestly, you're the dog walker, right? You're walking by and you hear that. Yeah. Do you think, that's a good story. What was that dude's name? It was Eleazar. I mean.
And now becomes legend.
Like, because, I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe the dude at home talking to his wife.
It's the wife.
It's the wife. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because she wrote down, like, and then he was like, no, no, make him say something much more noble. Make it better. Make it cooler. Because, I mean, he was quite cool.
And this was just a historical side note that they found later.
Yeah, yeah.
And just and injected it into the story.
Absolutely.
That's how this happened.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And then he let, like, it was fanfic, right? He let his other friends read it, and they were like, no, you're right. You're right. Eleazar, I mean, I did quite enjoy beating the fuck out of him at the punishment machine.
Did you default to a British accent because you don't know what a Greek accent sounds like?
I imagine that Greek is similar to Italian in my brain. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Right,
I could be
wrong. Sure.
What the fuck do I know? Right. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all this time, I thought that, like...
But you got British Portugal, in your repertoire, but not, you know...
Yeah, Greek. All the time, I thought Portugal spoke Spanish. No, they speak fucking Portuguese, you dumb.
Yeah,
like, duh. Yeah, I don't know people's accents and things, but I imagine that Greece sounds like Italian. I can't do Italian, so I certainly can't do Greece.
Sure.
But I can do kind of faux British. So, and in my head, these Greeks that are beating the fuck out of this guy at the torture machine,
they sound British.
Well, they're quite elegant.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
They're quite...
With their bloody knuckles.
With their bloody knuckles.
Yeah.
They beat the fuck out of this guy. Yeah. And then, so he has all his other friends read it, and he's like, what do you think? This is what my wife wrote. Would you say this captures the scene? And they're like... Oh, I say, Eleazar was quite admirable in that moment. Make sure that this gets into that second Maccabees story I hear that put in together. I think it was Fanfic Magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Second Maccabees chapter 6.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that next time we will be back with... Oh, actually, I should mention this.
What do you mention?
Tomorrow, because this comes out on Monday, but tomorrow... We might have another episode. We might not. I don't know. But for sure, tomorrow, there will be our live on Discord.
Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Discord.
You should join.
You should be there so that you can make fun of my accents and mispronunciations.
Right,
you can correct me in real time. It's a blast.
Yeah. And if you don't like the lives, there's plenty of chat rooms and stuff. You can chat with people and talk about things and just dump your thoughts.
There's even a place where you can point out where we got everything wrong.
Yeah.
Which we know.
We love it. It's a great time there.
It's
so
great time.
Come join us. Links in the show notes as always. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.